Well, welcome everybody. Thankful that you're here today. We're in the third week of a three-week teaching series called Get Fit. And we're doing this teaching series partially because it's the beginning of the year and most of us have on our minds at the beginning of the year starting something, doing something to improve or better our lives. And so that's a part of it. It's kind of a felt need. But the other part of it is I want you to get fit in the right way. And that is derived out of a verse in the scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says this. It says, "Now may God, the God of peace himself, sanctify you entirely." Now watch this. God is the one who sanctifies you entirely. Do you see it? May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and your soul and body, all three, spirit, soul, and body, be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've been kind of working off of what we call the identity drawing. That is, that our identity is we are sons and daughters of Christ, that our identity is from the inside out, not the outside in, that at our core, we have been made alive with Christ. His spirit has made our spirits alive, and so that's who we are. We're spiritual sons and daughters, and we talked about getting fit spiritually, right? That the church of Acts devoted themselves, once they were alive spiritually, to growing in the Word of God, praying to God, to connecting with each other relationally, and to sharing, giving their lives away, their goods, their gospels, the gospel, and the gifts, right? So you need a plan. Right? That wasn't a sermon. That was actually an opportunity for you to have a plan to grow spiritually this year. And so I've got one, you need one too, in all four of those areas. But then last week we talked about getting fit. We called it relationally at the soul level because we're so fractured. God wants you to love, 1 Peter 1:22. Love people fervently from a pure heart. But in order to do that, we got to have healing in our souls. And so we talked about what does it look like to let the Holy Spirit heal past experiences and pains and trauma and all those things where we get stuck. And so God wants to heal that from the inside out, that the Spirit of God begins to heal your soul. And then today we come to this third part of our being, that is your body, your physical being. We want to get fit physically. How many of y'all made a New Year's resolution to maybe go to the gym, lose weight, or eat better? Anybody out there do that? Anybody? I did. I made a resolution. I was not going to drink any Cokes for the entire month of January, and it lasted 2 days. I didn't make it. One a day, you know, moderation. That became my motto. Let's just go with moderation. And so I kind of, you know, backed up. If you made one, why? Why did you make a resolution? Why do you get on the do better plan? What is that? What's driving you to want to do better at times? Well, the Bible tells us that your body is four things at least. It's a treasure, it's a tent, it's a temple, and it's a tool. Your physical body, this outer part of you is a treasure, it's a tent, it's a temple, and it's a tool. And so God wants you to begin to see your body the way he sees your body so that you can be sanctified and holy with your living from the inside out, okay? So if you don't understand what your physical body is, if you don't understand what the Bible says about it, you're gonna miss it. But if you can understand what God says about you and then begin to let the Holy Spirit sanctify you from the inside out, you can have a maximum usefulness to God for as long as you live. So we're gonna look at these four realities today, and then at the end of the message, you're gonna have an opportunity actually to leave the service today and go find a place to start serving and giving your life away for God's kingdom, okay? So let's walk through those realities. Here's the first one if you're a note taker. Your body is a treasure, so embrace it. Your body is a treasure, so embrace it. According to the scripture, your body is made in God's image. We are made in God's image. Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Please notice, God made you. He created you. You were God's idea, even if you weren't your parents' idea. God put you together on purpose. You were made in his image, whether you're a man or a woman. What does that mean to be made in God's image? Let's go back to our identity drawing. God is three in one, right? Father, Son, and Spirit, and you are body, soul, and spirit. You're made in his image. But at the heart of what it means to be made in God's image is that you were made to spiritually connect to God. You were made for relationship with God. Please hear me. You're not a human being trying to have a spiritual experience. God says you're a spiritual being having a temporary human experience. That's really important, y'all. That's really important. That you are a spiritual being. You're either alive or you're dead spiritually, but you're a spiritual being and your spirit is going to live forever in one of two places. You're having a temporary experience right now in your body, and the hope is you respond to the gospel of Jesus so that you can have life now and forever in him. God made you, not just generally in his image. The Bible says God made you specifically and purposefully as his original creation. Psalm 139, verse 13, David is writing, and this is what he says, and I want all of us to read this out loud together, okay? Would you read with me, every campus, even at home, read with me. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them. What does David say? David says, God made my body. He formed me. He wove my inward parts. He was familiar with my frame. That Hebrew word is actually my bones. That wasn't hidden from God either. God knows all about you, all about even your bone structure. He knew before you were ever born how tall you were going to be, maybe even how wide you were going to be. David confesses, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm extraordinary. That was the way David viewed his physical body as a creation of God. And he said, and my soul knows it very well. I acknowledge it. I confess it. I admit it. Now, some of you are thinking, well, that's David, not me. And this is a sad reality that many of us in this room right now, you hate your physical body. And it sounds strong to say, but maybe you're even at war with your physical body. You wish that you were taller, or that you were thinner, or that you were stronger. You might want different hair or different metabolism or different proportions or a different bone structure for your chin or for your cheeks. My favorite preacher story is about the 50-year-old lady who had a heart attack and died, and they were trying to revive her. And while they were doing that, she had an out-of-body experience. She appeared before God, and she says, God, am I dying? Is this it? And he says, no, you're going to live 35 more years. And sure enough, they resuscitate her, and she recovers. But while she's in the hospital, she says, well, if I'm going to live 35 more years, I'm going to look good. So she just has the works, right? She has a nose job. She gets a facelift, tummy tuck, liposuction, augmentation. She gets it all. The day she leaves the hospital, she's crossing the streets, gets hit by a bus, and dies. She's standing before God and says, God, what is the deal? I thought you said I had 35 more years of life. And God looked at her and said, girl, I didn't even recognize you. Right? Now, I think there's a little bit of us, of her in all of us, right? Where I just wish I were a little different. But David acknowledges, he confesses, he admits that God put him together just like he was supposed to be. Now, please hear me. David was a handsome dude, the Bible says, but I don't think David was a particularly physically impressive man, i.e. one you would look at and go, well, that's the guy. I mean, think about it. Remember whenever he tried to put on Saul's armor and he looked like a little boy with his dad's suit on? And David's like, this is not going to work. Whenever he goes out to face Goliath, Goliath's like, what am I, dog? You're sending kids out here to me? His dad didn't even think he would be, you know, king material, doesn't even invite him to the party where Samuel's going to anoint the next king. And whenever Samuel sees his oldest brother, Eliab, he's like, wow, that's the guy. And God says, don't look at that. Remember what it says in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7? The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So apparently David wasn't as physically a specimen as other guys were, but rather than hate his body and have negative thoughts about it, David embraced his body. I'm fearfully, I'm wonderfully made. Would you embrace your body as a treasure? This is a stretch for some of you, I get it. But would you say, Holy Spirit, sanctify my view of my body. It is a treasure, a special creation from you. When I was a kid, I had a friend who was real, real short, and he didn't let that stop him. He said, dynamite comes in small packages. I'm like, well, you go, boy, because you're going to be dynamite because you're a small package, right? He didn't let it stop him. And the truth is, God a lot of times uses the least likely so that nobody looks at him and goes, well, it makes sense. God gets all the glory. You see, God knows how you look. And God knows how long you're going to live. He knows the number of your days that are ordained for you before there's even one. God knows how long your life is going to last. So your body is a treasure, but listen, it's also temporary. And that's the second thing about your body. It's a tent. Your body is a tent, so value it properly. Anybody here like to go camping? Anybody campers out there like to go, oh, I just love to go camping. Some people, when they go camping, they get in a tent. And a tent is awesome, right? You got, you know, you can dress it up with little happy lights and you got a lantern and your Stanley thermos. You know, that is awesome, all right, if you want to go camping. All right, here's my idea of camping. My idea of camping is Hampton Inn. Come on, can I get an amen out of anybody? I want a shower. I want no snakes. I don't want no mosquitoes, right? That's not it. When you go camping in a tent is a temporary shelter, isn't it? You don't live there. You just stay there for the night. You just stay there for a hot minute. A tent is temporary housing. When a storm blows up, when a tornado comes, I ain't gonna be in a tent. I'm going to a more permanent structure. Now let's go back to our identity drawing and see what the scripture tells us. The Bible says that our body is a tent for who you really are to dwell in. Right, can you see it? That your body is the wrapping paper. You're the gift. Your body is the shell. You're the nut, if you're from the country, right? That's what the Bible says. So we don't, listen to me, so we don't overvalue or worship our bodies. Our culture idolizes physical beauty. Social media is full of influencers who set an unrealistic standard. People are literally killing themselves trying to fit the culture's definition of beautiful or handsome or desirable. And so we subject ourselves to drastic diets, develop eating disorders, use steroids to achieve size and strength. Americans spent $11.8 billion in 2022 on elective cosmetic surgeries to transform our physical appearance. Men use testosterone supplements to maintain energy, vitality, and vigor. Some people who battle with their weight use shots or pills to suppress their appetite, while others work out excessively. I'm not hating on any of that. I'm just saying, why are you doing that, though? Why? It's your tent. It's temporary. We place so much emphasis on the external appearance as if it's everything. But here's the question I'm learning to ask myself when I see somebody who's all about that wrapping. This is what I'm asking myself. I wonder what's under the hood. With that guy, that girl, I wonder what's under the hood. I wonder what's going on at the soul level, or the spirit level, that they're so empty they have to focus on that. That's not always the case, but I just ask myself, I wonder what's really under the hood. Now, this is where the world finds and places value is on the external, and it only makes sense to me because if you're empty on the inside, you better find it somewhere else. If you don't have Christ, if you're denying everything about the spirit realm there where Jesus rules and reigns and brings life, if you don't have that, it makes sense. You gotta focus out here, man. This life's all you got. Look good long as you can. Get all you can, because then when this life's over, your tent's folded up. You're done. But followers of Jesus have a different perspective about our physical bodies. And it's captured, I believe, well for us by the Apostle Paul, who was a man who knew what it was to have his physical body tormented, beaten, malnourished. He was shipwrecked often the Bible says that it's likely that Paul maybe had an eye disease of some sort, because he tells the Galatians, you'd have plucked your eyes out for me. And so some scholars believe he had this, you know, eye stuff going on that made him very unattractive to look at. And so in 2 Corinthians, he's listing all the maladies and mistreatment and misfortune that he's gone through physically. And this is what he says, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. From momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they're eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, he's talking about his physical body. If this earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands. It's eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house, in this body, we groan. Come on, anybody out there ever groan in your physical body? We're longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, and as much as having put it on, we won't be found naked. For indeed, while we're in this tent, we groan, we're burdened, because we don't want to be unclothed, but to be clothed so that what is mortal can be swallowed up by life. Now, he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge, right? When he puts the Spirit inside of you, that's his pledge to say, I'm going to give you a spiritual body one day. He's given it as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And we're of good courage, I say, and actually prefer rather to be absent from the body and be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now that was a lot. Let me break it down for you. Paul is trying to help you understand. He focuses not on the momentary, but he focuses on the eternal. He doesn't devote himself to things that he can see. He devotes himself to the things that he cannot see. He doesn't invest in all of his energy in his earthly tent. He instead longs for his heavenly dwelling. Here's why. He said our outer man's decaying. Our outer man, your body, is changing for the worse. It's being destroyed. It's being ruined. Your bodily vigor, your strength, it's being consumed. I would say it this way. We're all running out of gas. Come on, any old folk in the room? I'm running out of gas, right? I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. Thank God, Toby Keith. Isn't that what he's saying, right? We're just running out of gas. I just can't do what I used to do. It's a real battle for folks as they age, as we age. It's a real battle for us. All of us wind up with furniture disease where your chest winds up in your drawers. It's just going to happen to you. Your outer man is slowly fading. You live, listen to me, you live right now. If you're 18 years old, you live in the land of the dying. But your inner man, your inner person, your soul and spirit can be renewed every day, made new, more strength, more vigor. Instead of falling apart, it's actually being recreated and becoming very powerful. Your body is temporary, Paul said. It's mortal. We're going to take the tent down one day and put it in a box or an urn. And who you really are will be swallowed up by life. And we groan in our earthly tents sometimes, don't we? While we are a treasure, we're also vulnerable to life's misfortunes and tragedy, to sickness and disease. I've heard more than one person say, whose body was being ravaged by disease or some type of mental debilitation, I feel trapped in my body. My mind's still good, but my body doesn't cooperate with me. It's temporary. And ultimately, your body, Paul said, is going to be traded or transformed. In this body, we groan because we long to have the body God designed for us, a spirit body. That dream died the day Adam and Eve sinned. But one day it's going to be restored. Paul said the Holy Spirit is given to you as a pledge, a down payment, a guarantee of a new and a better body, one day that's appropriate to your spiritual identity. He gave us a glimpse of what it's going to be like in 1 Corinthians 15. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown perishable body, but it's raised an imperishable body. It's sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. Come on, anybody ready for their upgrade? I want the upgrade where it's imperishable and glorious and powerful and spiritual. Your spirit is eternal. That's the real you. And it can be renewed every single day. You can get stronger and stronger on the inside. You can become more emotionally mature to view yourself and to view life, not as what happened to you, but whose you are and where God's taking you to be. Put away childish things and begin to step into maturity. That's why Paul said, I don't lose heart in the midst of all the hardships. Even in the midst of the face of death, he knows there's more. I'm just passing through. Though his physical strength is fading, his spiritual strength is increasing. And then he wrote in Philippians 3, verse 18, for many walk, of whom I often told you, and I tell you now even weeping, that they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, and they set their mind on earthly things. They're all about the body in this world. But Paul says, for followers of Jesus, our citizenship, our home is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. And so here's what I want to say to you. Whenever you're tempted next time to put too much energy or emphasis on your physical body, your tent, I want you to ask yourself this question. What's under my hood? What's under my hood? Am I so consumed out here that I'm missing who I really am? When you see some guy who's so handsome, so charming, girls, he makes you weak in the knees. Or guys, you see some girl who's so physically beautiful, she makes your head spin. I want you to ask yourself this question. I wonder what's under the hood. I wonder if there's anything inside that's spiritually alive. Whether you're out on the town or alone in your room on social media, and you come across that person who's so proud of their physical appearance and their assets, and they dress to reveal and promote them, I want you to ask yourself this question. I wonder what's under the hood. I wonder what's so broken inside of them that they have to do that to get attention. Okay, y'all with me? Paul said, I don't recognize anybody according to the flesh anymore. I recognize them as either in Christ or dead. That's all that matters. And so I want to say to you, who you are on the outside or what you are on the outside doesn't matter nearly as much as what you are on the inside and who you are on the inside. Your body doesn't define you. It doesn't have to limit you, and it doesn't last. Your body is a tent. Value it properly. That leads me to the third thing, and that is your body is a temple, so treat it holy. Your body is a temple, right? So treat it holy. Paul said, you're going to give an account, so treat it holy. And whenever I was a kid, we would say, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and so that's why you shouldn't smoke cigarettes. Anybody else raised in that church? Don't smoke cigarettes because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I didn't want to smoke cigarettes, but the deacons all offered burnt offerings on the front steps of the church right before the service. Anybody raised up in that church? Yep, that's right. Now look, smoking cigarettes, probably not the wisest thing on the planet, but the Bible does say that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Back to our identity drawing. Where does the Spirit of God live? The Bible teaches that the Spirit of God lives inside of you. The Spirit of Jesus resides inside now you. Whenever you say, forgive me of my sins, Jesus, come into my life, he says, okay, I will, and he does. And so your physical body houses the Holy Spirit, who has now quickened your spirit and made you alive again. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. That word temple, your body's a temple, it's the word used to describe the Holy of Holies, the dwelling place of God. Your body is the dwelling place of God, treated as holy. And the context of this declaration isn't smoking cigarettes. It's something different, and I think you should see it. So let's back up in 1 Corinthians 6, back up to verse 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. He says, heck no. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. But the man who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. What is he saying? He's saying that as a follower of Jesus, you've been joined to Christ. You belong to him. You're a part of him. You're now his eyes, his mouth, his ears, his hands, his feet. You are part of Christ's body. When you're joined to him, when you're glued to him, cemented with him permanently, you're now one spirit with him. His spirit lives inside of you. So the question, should you take what is holy and connect it to what is unholy? Should you use Christ's temple as an instrument of immorality? And Paul answered his own question for us. Heck no. Flee immorality. The Greek word immorality is transliterated as porneia. It's what you think. It's where we get pornography. And so it's a whole world of lust, both mentally and physically. And he says, flee from it. And I think this is, listen, just to be sober, this is the lie that the world, the devil, and your flesh have screamed at us for a long time until some of us have started to believe it. And that lie is, it's your body, do what you want to with it. Okay? As long as you're not a follower of Jesus, that's true. Sorta. But as a follower of Jesus, what did Paul just say? You're not your own. You're not your own. You said, Jesus, I repent of my sin. Forgive me, change me. I want to walk with you. I want to do life like you tell me. You're sanctifying me, body, soul, and spirit. Sanctify me. I've been bought with a price, a high price. So glorify God then in your body. While you're in your body, as long as you live, glorify God. Every day you live, glorify God. Make much of God. Give God honor. Give him priority. Give him the weight. Give him the say-so in your life. When people see you and they see the way you live, they should think of God and want God. Please hear me. The antithesis is don't glorify yourself and don't make people glorify you or want you or can't get you off their mind. The way of the world or the way of Jesus. Glorify God in your body, Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Living a sanctified life in this body is true worship. I love it that you come and sing a song, but true worship is what you do when you leave this place. So ask yourself, is there anything that you're doing right now with your physical body that is dishonoring to the Spirit of Jesus who lives inside of you? Or put another way, is what you're looking at honoring to Jesus? Is what you're eating and drinking and putting in your body, is that honoring to Jesus? Is what you're thinking about, is that honoring to Jesus? Because Paul says we're all going to give an account to God for what we did with our bodies. And so on the one hand, that is, hey, be holy. Man, there's some things you just, that ain't for you. But listen, the other side of that is to glorify God means God use me for what is right. And that leads me to the last thing I want to say about your body, and that is your body is a tool. So take care of it. It's a useful instrument in God's hand. Your body is a tool, an instrument to be used by God. So take care of it. What did Paul say? Your body is a part of Christ, Christ's body. And he wants you to use your life and your living to bring his kingdom on earth. I'm reading right now in the Gospel of Mark. And for five plus chapters, Jesus is doing everything. He's the one preaching and teaching and healing and doing miracles and all that. But you get to chapter 6 and he says to his apostles, to the disciples, now you do it. Your turn. And he gives them authority and he sends them out to preach and to teach and to heal and to cast out demons, same as Jesus. And after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he puts them on permanent duty. Now, y'all go do what I've been doing for the last 3 years. And as they wrote letters to folks like you and me, they said, now it's next man up, next woman up, to use your life as a tool, an instrument in God's hand, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. You were made specifically by God with a plan and a purpose in mind. He put you together to do certain things, to bring his kingdom right where you live. And he hasn't wasted anything about your life in preparation for it. Pastor Rick Warren, who is retired now, used to talk about your shape. And he said, everybody here has a shape. And here's what he meant by a shape. You have spiritual gift, heart, ability, personality, and experiences that uniquely set you up to be used by God. You have a spiritual gift, a place where the Holy Spirit of God, when he moved into your life, brought a housewarming gift. And so that may be teaching, serving, giving, helps. I don't know what it is, but you have a place where the Spirit of God supernaturally empowers you. You have a heart, something you're passionate about, something you love to do. You have abilities, stuff that you're good at, maybe naturally good at, or you learn to be good at, but you have abilities, you have personality, the way you interact with people. Maybe you're, you know, kind of outgoing, or maybe you're more introverted. Maybe you're a people person, or maybe you like cats, I don't know, but you have a personality. Just making sure y'all are listening. And you have experiences. You have experiences, awesome experiences where you go, man, yes. And you also have bad experiences where you go, oh no, but God uses them all. He takes your mess and turns it into your message. He takes your test and he turns it into your testimony. Christy was meeting with a new friend recently, and this lady was just unpacking a lot of pain and heartache that started way, way early and is being just ongoing. Shattered. And then as Christy and I were talking about it, she said, you know, I really would like to get her to talk to, and she named a lady in our church who had a life experience a lot like where this lady's life experience has been, so that this older friend of ours could say to this new friend of ours, girl, there is hope for you because I've been there and done that. Y'all with me? You, listen to me, every person, if God still lets you live, he's got a purpose for you. He has a shape. And so don't act like, well, that's not for me. You know, maybe I've, no. God wants to take everything you've gone through and give you a shape so that you can serve. And so today at the end of the service, unless you're at the Oxford campus, you'll do it next week. But for all of us, as soon as we're done here, you can leave the room and out in the commons. There, every ministry we have at Pine Lake is going to be represented, and you can go and find a place to begin to serve if you don't serve anywhere. You're like, Chip, I don't even know where I would start. Okay, let me help you. Here's where I would start if I were you. I would go where you have a heart for. What are you just passionate about? What do you love to do? If you find that out there. Or what are you good at? What do you have an ability for? Or what's your experience in? Start with those. And then once you start there, we'll help you to discover your spiritual gifting and where your personality fits in the ministry. Y'all with me? But just go start somewhere. Find your place. Our folks want to help you take a next step. So while we don't worship our bodies, we do believe that it's important to take care of our bodies because they're vessels of God that God has given us to accomplish his will on this earth. Remember, he knows the number of your days. He knows how long you're going to live. And I'm convinced that the better you take care of your physical health, the more capacity you have to continue to serve God all the days of your life. My dad is 83. He'll be 84 this year. And right now while I'm preaching, he's preaching in Grenada, Mississippi at 83. You're like, bruh. You know why I think he can still preach at 83? He's gifted to do it, supernaturally empowered. But because my daddy's always taking care of his physical body, kept his mind sharp by exercising, still goes to the gym 5 days a week. I think he drinks coffee more than he works out, but he's there, right? He's there. He walks in and out. But he took care of his physical body, and so he can do this for a long time. My mother-in-law, who now lives right beside us, she's in her 80s, and she has a new good friend named Miss Vivian, and they started going to the Y. Oh, yeah, they're getting up 3 or 4 days a week. They go to the Y. They get their workout on. They're sore. But they're getting it done. They're getting it done. My mother-in-law's got life ahead of her still. She's in a Bible study with Miss Vivian and some other ladies at 80s. My mother-in-law's going to be baptized in a few weeks. It's going to be beautiful. She's even cooked a time or two recently. I don't know what's gotten into her. I guess she's got more energy. But listen, we sometimes sing a song, "If I'm not dead, God's not done." And so I want to speak to all my friends who you feel like, man, you know, my elder man is decaying. Can I tell you, if you're not dead, God's not done. There's life in your body. There's purpose for your soul. So how do you take care of your physical body? Can I just give you some suggestions quickly that I think are rooted in a good theology of who we are? I'm a treasure. I'm a tent. I'm a temple. And I'm a tool to be used by God. If that's true, then eat halfway decent. I don't want to tell you how to eat because it changes. I heard recently a podcast where they said, you know, carbs, sugar and carbs, they don't cause diabetes and chicken's bad for you. It's the exact opposite of everything I've heard all my life. If sugar doesn't kill you, I'm going to live forever, y'all, because I have eaten way too much, but I'm trying to eat halfway decent. Do I eat sugar? Sometimes. But here's the deal. Watch how much you eat and when you eat it. Just eat halfway decent. If you'll just do that, eat halfway decent, you'll be way down the road. Exercise. Just get your body moving for about 30 minutes, 3 to 5 times a week. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Paul says, focus on your godliness, the inner man, but he says, bodily discipline. Fellas, everybody who likes to go to the gym, the word discipline is gymnazo. Going to the gym is of little profit. He didn't say no profit, so all you haters, stop. It's of little value. It's value, but it only has value here. It doesn't have value in eternity. Y'all with me? But take care of your body. I've got a friend that I had lunch with the other day. He's a member of our church, and he's been involved with our prison ministry. And so he goes to a couple of different jails locally, and he does some mentoring, but he loves running. And so he asked if he could start a running club with some of the trustees. And I'm like, dude, how do you do a running club with people who are incarcerated? I'm trying to figure that out. And he said, they actually get to leave the prison and go and run. And they have a guard, you know, for the ladies and a guard for the men who actually accompany them. And so whenever they started running, my buddy says to the guard, you ain't gonna ride in that van. You're gonna have to get out here and get on this street with us and exercise. And this is what he said. Between the male guard and the female guard, they've combined lost 150 pounds. One lost 60, one lost 90, just by getting moving. Exercise. Hydrate. Drink lots of water. Drink less coffee, alcohol, and Mountain Dew. Less. Okay, I didn't say don't drink Mountain Dew. I said less Mountain Dew. But drink more water. And then rest. God gave you a rhythm of rest. And I know that sometimes you think, I don't need to rest, or I can't have time to rest, and you're popping 5-hour energies and Adderall. And I'm not saying that to shame you. I'm just saying to you, there's a different way to live your life in a spirit rhythm. You're at your best when you're rested. So rest. Your body grows. Your body heals when you rest. So rest. And I would recommend you go to the doctor. You don't have to go to the doctor, but I would recommend that you go to the doctor. Jesus said, we have physicians for those who are sick. And a lot of times your physician can help you before you get too sick to not be so sick. So go to the doctor. My mama just refused to go to the doctor. She would go when she was having babies, and I think she probably did that because early on she's trying to save money. But even as an adult, when she could afford to go to the doctor, she just didn't want to go. And I'm not saying that if my mama would have gone to the doctor routinely every year, she would still be here. I'm not saying that. God knows the number of her days ordained for her. But I do wonder what her life would have been like had she. And I know that some of you are like, man, I don't even want to know. Ignorance is bliss. Yes, and ignorance is ignorance too. Go to the doctor. Your body is a treasure. Your body is a tent. Take care of it. It's a temple. Be holy. It's a tool to be used by God from now on. So get fit. Know how God sees you and let him sanctify you completely, spirit, soul, and body. Here's the way we're going to close this 3-week series. We're going to close it by taking communion. And so this would be a time for you to pull out your communion packet if you have it. If you're at home, you can get your communion supplies. If you're a follower of Jesus and you would like to take communion, but you didn't get yours on the way in, if you'll raise your hand right now, I've got some ushers and some friends in every room who would like to make sure you get what you need. And so if you're on the end of the row and you look down your row and you see somebody in the middle who's got their hand up but can't be seen, hey, would you just kind of point these folks out? So ushers, you got to be really diligent. Somebody have to put your hands up in the air. All right, let's make sure everybody gets. Okay, now listen. This is what we believe at Pine Lake. We don't believe that communion makes you a Christian. We believe that you take communion because you are a Christian, because it's a reminder. And I want to put the identity drawing back up here on the board one last time. Here's what this packet represents. Here's what that piece of bread, here's what that cup of juice reminds you of, is that Jesus makes you alive spiritually, and that your identity is formed from the inside out, not the outside in. Do you see it? Do you see it? Your identity is formed from the inside out, not the outside in. Paul says, I don't recognize any man according to the flesh. I recognize him according to the Spirit. So what we have in our hands is a reminder, I am spiritually alive to God. Okay? And here's what else communion represents. It's a reminder to you of what matters most. It's not that your body's unimportant. Please hear me. It's just not most important. That you're not a human trying to find a spiritual experience. You're a spiritual being having a temporary human experience. And so would you think about what's under your hood? Who are you really? And then here's the last thing. This communion is a declaration of hope. That though this body is a treasure and a tent and a temple and a tool, it's not forever. It's going to be transformed. And one day Christ, who's put a deposit in me, Paul said, a pledge in me, is going to give me a new spirit body. And we'll be reunited with Christ and all those we love forever. So would you just take communion and open it up and hold it in your hand? And could I just ask you, would you pray about that for just a moment? Just in this moment, would you acknowledge, God, my body is a treasure. You made me. It's a tent. I don't need to get so captivated by it or caught up in it, God. It's a temple. I want to be holy. It's a tool. God, you want to use my life in some crazy way to bring your kingdom. Would you acknowledge that right now? And would you ask the Holy Spirit to help you find that right rhythm of physical exercise and care? Again, this, let the Lord speak to you. God, is there something I need to do to better take care of my body so that it can be glorifying to you for as long as I live? And is there a place in your life where there's a needed surrender of your physical being to be the Holy Spirit's temple and a tool in the hand of God? Would you just say, God, I lay that down. I surrender. Sanctify me completely. Fill me up and use me today. We live because he lived. And now you're called to live as he lived. And one day you're going to live with him again. So with gratitude, would you now eat and drink and worship? Lord God, we just tell you thank you for your grace and mercy to us. Thank you, Lord, for thinking of us. Before we were ever born, we were already in your mind. God, you put us together, each of us uniquely. And God, sometimes we war against your design, but God, you never have. You have told us we are fearfully and wonderfully made on purpose, God, to relate to you, to have relationship with you, and God, to live our lives to glorify you, and God, for you to bring your kingdom through us at school with our friends, at home with our parents or with our kids or with our spouse, God, in the community, using our platform in the business world. God, you want to be glorified through us. And so, Jesus, we surrender our lives to you today. We are your temple. We are your tool. We are your treasure. And God, as long as we're in this tent, we want you to be glorified in and through our lives. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. And we're going to respond to God in just a moment and sing a song that says, God, be glorified. Christ, be glorified. From the altar that is my life, Christ, be glorified in me. Would you let that be your prayer and your anthem today as we respond? Lord, we love you. We respond to you now in the name of Christ. Amen.